We are delighted that God has seen fit in His all-wise providence to permit our wheels of life to continue to roll on. Countless thousands, they saw the income of last year, but they did not see the incoming of this year. But God blessed us to be participants thus far in this new year. He has blessed us for a reason. God never does anything without a reason, for a cause. Let us be cognizant of that fact, and let us draw closer to the Lord by studying His Word, communing with Him through the medium of prayer, so that we will have a good understanding and a good knowledge of how He would have us to traverse on planet Earth. His Son is not coming back, His only begotten Son is not coming back to live on planet Earth. That responsibility rests with us. And we are glad that He entrusts us with that opportunity and to manifest His love for humanity. A great deal of talk has been done about the weather. And the weather does what it does every year. In the wintertime, it gets cold. And in the summertime, it gets warm. And it never fails. The number of days one or the other stays changes, but the fact that it gets cold in the winter and warm, very warm in the summer. We have come this morning on this first Lord's Day of 2016. I just want to make sure you haven't gone to sleep. On the first Sunday, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Please, take the time, not just to read His Bible, but to study His Bible, so that you will know what to do, how to do it, and when to do that which pleases God. Understand, we often talk about how many people left this year, did not live to see this year come in. But there is an after while. We need to keep that in mind. Dying, yes, but also there is going to be a resurrection day of every human being that has ever lived in every century on planet Earth. And we're going to be judged, and God gives us the information ahead of time. We're going to be judged based upon the life that we live. Does it coincide with what I put in my Bible? He's taking no hard-headed people. Now, if you're concerned about hard-headed people, don't miss heaven. Study to know the will of God and then do the will of God. Check behind all preachers. All preachers. Who does that leave out? None, including this one. Because you want to make heaven your eternal home of abode. Because once God pronounces the decision at the final roundup of human affairs based upon our reading of Revelation chapter, I believe the chapter is 20. That's it. Forever and ever. You get a life sentence. You say a life sentence? You get a life sentence. You're going to live forever in torment based upon your reading and my reading in this book called the Word of God. This morning, let's see, I had a lesson here somewhere. Did I leave it on the seat? And it's dealing with the home. Starting the first Sunday. Thank you. Talking to the people of God regarding the Word of God, regarding family. We may get a few amens from the sisters. And they said, Brother Brown, I told him that, but he didn't listen to me. Peace. All is well. Turn in your Bible, if you would, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Galatians, Ephesians. In the sixth chapter of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the congregation at Ephesus and to us. Starting with verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For what? So anything contrary to obeying your parents is not right. So you want to start your life obeying God by obeying your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Out of honor. That's the beginning of verse 2. Honor thy father, honor your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What does that verse also infer? What does that verse infer? As well as what it says. Honor your father and your mother. You're on planet Earth because of your father and your mother. Of your father and your mother. The Apostle Paul here infers also marriage between mama and daddy. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be what? Well with you. Your Bible says thee. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children with anger, with wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. And then he goes on to talk about servants. Let's go to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It may seem like it's impossible for me, and it may seem like it's impossible to you. But if it's right, God can bring it to pass. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he talks about the armor that we need to put on. This morning, church, I pray that God will bless me to be his instrument of truth. As we embark on this very, very first day, Sunday of this brand new year, This morning, I'm speaking to every member and prayerfully to every visitor and shown up to all the children. To the children and the fathers. Mothers, God is also depending upon you to be a role model, an example for the children that I bless you with. And then the text says, children. Now, after the word children, there is what? A comma. Children, obey. Don't be hard-headed. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Because it's what pleases God. And you want to learn early in your life to live successfully on planet Earth and to die and go to heaven and live with God. You must obey His word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Isn't that something? Being obedient children blesses you with extended life, that thou may live what? Long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Be careful of what you do when you deal with your children in your anger. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up how? In the nurture and in the understanding and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we bring up godly children prayerfully, they will be godly adults and be of service to God on planet Earth. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth, and you fathers, provoke not the children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Notice God's command for the children. The subjection of children. Don't be talking back to your mothers and your fathers, children. Children are to be in subjection to their parents. Chapter 6 says, Children obey your parents. Not with an attitude, not with that frown. A few years ago, when I was a little boy, friends, I used to hear parents say, my mother's mother, grandmother, so that would be my grandmother, she would have children around, and she would be talking to them, and they'd be frowning up, and you know what the mother would, you know what she would say? You better straighten out your face. I'll slap that frown off your face. It's amazing what those older parents could do. They could slap frowns off your face. And you know what? It worked. So apparently they believed it. That frown went away. When children obey their parents, you're pleasing God. So then if you're pleasing God, children, when you obey your parents, what's the opposite of that action? When you don't obey your parents, not only are you displeasing your parents, but also remember that you're displeasing God. Even if you displease your parents and you're not in their sight, their parents may not see it then. But guess who does? And he doesn't have to be in a hurry to cause you to regret that you disobeyed your parents. He can wait a number of years to do it because he's God and he's never going to die. When children disobey their parents, it's a sin against your parents and also against Almighty God. So children, wake up and obey your parents because it's right in the sight of God. Children, perhaps you're saying, preacher, it's just so hard to obey my parents. That's in your mind. That's in your mind. No arguments there. God doesn't change what he says. Children, parents, God the parents, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So now if obeying your parents is right in the Lord, anything else is what? Unright. Not right. Displeasing to God. And look at verse 18 in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, I believe it is. And be not what? Is that in your Bible? And be not drunk. Leave the strong stuff alone. And be not drunk. Whether it's liquid or whether it's mental drunkenness. Let your mind be filled with the understanding that God has blessed me with these parents, and he has given me direct instructions, not recommendations, commandments to obey your parents. Somehow we have gotten the idea that the Spirit-filled life is only for grown folks. Anyone of knowledgeable age to understand instructions, God wants him or her to know his or her will for their life at every age. We are to teach our children how to walk in favor with God, the importance of being in favor with God, and the detriment that may not come immediately of being out of favor with God. It is never too early to teach and to train the children to depend upon God. It is never too early to teach them and to train them always do the right thing, whether we are around or whether we are not around. God is always around. He's never absent. And believe and bless them to know and to understand and to believe that God will give them the wisdom, the courage, and the strength to do what's right. God tells us the reason that children are obedient to their parents. Look at chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 3. That it what? So he tells us there is a reason for what I'm telling you to do. You do what I tell you to do, I'll bless you. You do what your parents instruct you to do, and they're instructing you to do the right thing, I'll bless you. I'll also bless your parents. But you'll have to pay if you do the wrong thing. It may not come right then. But payday does come. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's healthy to be right with God. It's healthy to, well, we know it's healthy to be right with our parents, because you can remember what parents, how do I say this? Parents. You remember what parents are, yeah, those of you who've been grown folk a little while, you know what parents did when you disobeyed. And they always managed to have that weapon. Yeah, there was always something around to whip you with. It's just amazing how that is. But I think there were about 8 or 9 or 10 of us children, so I used to saw them get whippings. Yeah, I saw them get whippings. Because when I was like this, I had asthma. So if I got in trouble, all of a sudden my asthma came on. I had an asthma piece. They used to call it asthma attacks. In the Old Testament, a child who cursed his mother or his father, guess what? Those children were stoned to death for being disrespectful to their parents. If a child was unruly, the severe chastisement of God and the community came upon that child. Did you hear that, children? Yes. So God ordains whipping. I don't know what the government does nowadays, but God ordains whippers when they're necessary. Now, you don't try to beat the child to death, but let them know that what they've done is disrespectful and you disapprove that. Physical violence against parents and verbal abuse of parents also, in the Old Testament, brought about death of the child. That was the penalty. Read your Bible in Exodus chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. I think it says something like this: "And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death." That's in God's covenant in the Old Testament. Put to death. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. "If a man have a stubborn and a rebellious son," and you know, some children, when you try to talk to them, they get that kind of look on their face. As a youngster growing up, I used to hear some mothers talking to their bad children: get that frown off your face. I'll slap that frown off your face. It's amazing how they can slap a frown off your face. It's amazing what those grown folks could do under the old covenant. "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son," Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 through 21. "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, will not obey the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastised him, will still not listen to them or hearken to their words, still be disobedient, then shall the father and his mother lay hold on that child, bring him to the elders of his city, and unto the gate of a certain place. And they shall say unto the elders of this particular city, this is our son, he's stubborn, he's rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he's a glutton and a drunkard. And the men of the city," are you getting this? It's in your Bible, Deuteronomy 31. "The men of the city shall stone that child till he die. So shalt thou put evil away from them." Did you get that? God had that done. Gave them that to do in order to put evil away. Because this bad influence can influence other children. "And all Israel shall hear," the latter part of the verse, verse 21, "and all Israel shall hear and fear." In other words, children would get the news as to what happened to that child, all because he disobeyed. They straighten up and fly right. In the Old Testament, the disobedient child was also known to get whippings. Y'all know what whippings are? Parents in yesteryear they always seemed to have the whipping instrument nearby. No matter where you were in the house, when you disobeyed and they were upset, they knew exactly where that whipping weapon was. But thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for being a good child. Peace. There is a spiritual principle that still lingers long. And that longevity regarding obedience to parents goes longevity and obedience go together. Long life goes together with being obedient. Being hard-headed, short life goes together. Disobedient children left unchecked affects the whole nation. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. For our Bible says, and this is right, any nation is in grave danger when the children are allowed to just grow up in abundance disobedient to parents. Because you see, they're disobedient to adults, so they never learn to respect adults. So they get to the point where they just do what they want to do and get away with it. I can get away with this. My parents got to me. We've talked about God's command regarding parents and how we should treat them and how children should respect and honor their parents. Let's take a few minutes here and the lesson will be yours. The attitude regarding the father. In Ephesians chapter 6, and the verse is 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, papas, dads, one of your most important tasks is being a husband and a father. And every father owes his children devotion, discipline, and direction. Devotion, discipline, and direction. Children are to be loved, which is the opposite of unlove. Love your children. Unfortunately, many children don't know what it is in our society of today. They don't know what it is to be loved by the father. All they know is nagging, finding fault, harsh criticism, and unsanitary, for lack of a better word, using unsanitary language. The story is told that one boy said he was 7 years old before he knew what his real name was. Until he was 7, you know what he thought his name was? Shut up. Shut up and come here. Shut up and go there. He said they thought it was his name. Home is to be a happy place, and fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath. Home is the father's place to let the child and to let all the children know what it is to be loved. Children don't ever forget whether they were loved or mistreated when they were youngsters. Even though they may not have much knowledge about anything else, they know when they were loved and when they're not loved. They may not use the words, but they don't understand that. You cannot love without giving. No giving, no loving. And the way you're going to show your children that you love them is to give to them time, attention, and the manifestation of love. Be careful what you call them at that early age. Why, you're just ignorant. Child, you don't have good sense. Day after day after day, never a kind word. Come here, son. Now, this is the way you should do this. The way that you're doing is not the right way. This is the language that you should use. Now, that's not a language. That's not a word that we use in this home. God is not pleased, and Daddy is well not pleased. Are you listening? I'm wrapping up. As parents, it's more important that we give children a godly me, even if I don't give them a lot of toys. Give them a self, a father and mother that loves the children and manifests that love for the children. Because all they hear is negative coming up. They're going to grow up with anger burning in them. And when they get to be teenagers, they want to let it out. They're just too scared to let it out any younger than that because they don't have anywhere to go. They may not have anywhere to go before they're teenagers, but they'll find somewhere to go. Preacher, you talked that sermon? Yes, I chose this one for the first Sunday in this year. I'm not talking about giving them things. That's easy. And that in some cases, giving them things excessively. No. The giving of things is often used as a substitute for what? For the giving of themselves. Oft times, parents will get gifts. But what about me? What about the parent, him or herself, particularly the parent? Himself, spending some time with the children. Letting them know that they are important to you. Letting them know that you don't just work. You are important to me. And have a smile on your face every now and then. And it's more important to have it now than to have it then. They need to know love, see love, experience love in the home from the mother and the father. Lord and I, we talked a long time about what you're going to talk about, preacher. And this is what the Lord gave me. Now, I have some more here, but I don't know if you have some more time. We must give our children, let me wrap this up. We must give our children discipline. And it does not always mean a whip. Knock. Sometimes it's simply a matter of slowing them down and talking with them and sharing with them. Son, that's not the way you do that. Here, let Daddy show you how to do that. Daughter, that's not the way you do that. Let Mama show you how to do that. No, that's not the way you say that. Now, I've talked about the physical home, planet Earth. Physical mother, physical father on planet Earth. Guess what? At some stage in our life, we are children to somebody. Even if the parents are gone, we are children to somebody. What are you saying, preacher? We are the children of, we are members of the Church of Christ. This is not our church. This is the Lord's church. God is our Heavenly Father. just like God has instructions, guidelines for the parents and the teaching and the training of their children and the loving of their children, He has the same principles and guidelines, same principles. Statements may be different. Same principles for those who are in His spiritual family, the Church of Christ. He expects obedience from us. When I was a child coming up, I understood obedience. And when I got to be 10 or 12, I sure enough understood to be what obedience was, what the wrong thing was, and what the right thing was. And so it is with the Lord's church. This is His family. We are His sons and daughters. Do we love Him? Do we respect Him? He allows things to happen in our lives, sometimes not pleasant, but He's allowed it. God never does anything without a cause or a reason. So we have talked about how the children are to obey God, our children ought to obey their parents. We're also saying the same thing when we reverence God. We are to obey God's instructions. Know His instructions. Do His instructions. Obey His instructions. God expects obedience. That's why we have His book. If He didn't expect anything from us, we wouldn't have His books. He wouldn't have guidelines for us. As we go through this life, and as if the Father sees, as we go through this year, just left. We can't go back in the year. We can't go back and get anything out of 2017. Thank God He has blessed us with the beginning of a brand new year. Whatever we learned that pleased God last year, hold to God. We sing the song, don't we? Hold to God's unchanging hands. Let us hold on to it. Let us grow closer to the Father. Why? Because the Father loved us enough to bless us to see this year close in our right mind. And prayerfully, we don't need to go to a spiritual hospital, but work and worship with the Lord and work together with His brothers and with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We can't get it done by ourselves. I can't do everything. You can't do everything. But when we work together, it can be done. It's amazing what can be done. But children, please understand that God is involved with everything on his planet. Everything. If you live in a challenging situation, God is involved. He knows about it. If you live in a loving situation, God is involved. And He knows about it. Physically, spiritually, same thing. Faithful child of God, committed child of God, source of inspiration to other members of the Lord's church. God knows about that. He knows what His children are doing 24/7. We need to get some sleep. If you endure chastising, when it's needful and necessary, you will grow thereby. You will grow thereby. And by the grace of God, heaven will be your eternal home of abode. Now this the lesson was prayerfully designed for us to look over our slate. 12 months have just gone by. I think they're 12 months in a year, isn't it? God has blessed us to start brand new. And we hope, pray, and trust that we'll get to see the end of this year, but we don't know that. But by His grace, we want to see the end of the year. But whether we see it or not, we want to always be where? In favor with our Heavenly Father. I couldn't cover. Or didn't know how to cover both of them any better than I've done so far. We are the children of God. He manifests. He has manifested. Just going back to last year. He has manifested a whole year of blessings. Look at us, still looking strong, healthy. Don't look like you're ready for the other people to come pick you up. God has blessed us. Let us let Him know that we love Him as our Heavenly Father. And that we love the fact that He has blessed us so well that we eat well enough to have buttons moved on our clothes. Couldn't find that. Couldn't think of no other way to put it. I don't know if you got that message, but if you didn't get it, that's all right. Let us endeavor. Let us endeavor. God has been so good to us. Let us endeavor to show Him even more. So, this year, than we did last year. Why? Because we know things better. That we learned last year, we can incorporate those things and do more and please the Father. And we thank Him. This is a time for thanking God to have brought us this far. And I don't believe that He brought us this far to leave us. Also, I'm quitting. I don't want to, but I'm quitting. Let us take time for each other because we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Let us take a little bit more time to get to say hello. How you doing? What you say your name is? You follow what I'm saying? Don't just dash out. Amen. Boom. Gone. We are workers together. We want to go to heaven together. And you don't want to rush out of heaven. Because the only place He tells us about is not pleasant. That's not heaven. We're told about two places in eternity. Preaching, you preaching? No, I'm just talking to the church. This morning, or you call it what you want to call it. But we are more than what we have become. Great congregation, I love you, and I believe the Lord loves you. Because I love you would be one of the reasons. Peace. Church, if you remember nothing else, remember, we are more. God's not through with us. Therefore, we are more than what we have become. I can become a better me. We all should have that attitude. I can become a better me by the grace of God. Do His will, because we all want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? What have you made up your mind to do regarding God and His business on planet Earth and His church? You plan to be faithful? Are you just planning to worship Him on Sunday morning? Sunday night? Well, I go every Sunday night, but I just can't get up that early on Sunday morning. Jesus came all the way from glory and stayed three years? 30 and 3 years? Why can't we give Him a little more time? Just because of who He is and just because of what He has done for us. We want to be more than what we have become. And God wants that too. We want to continue to grow, to continue to love Him, and continue to love one another. Where are you this morning? You need prayer for strengthening? We'd love to pray for you. You've not been faithful to Him in whatever case. However, we don't need any details. Just church I've sinned, please pray for my forgiveness. And if you're here and you're not a member, Jesus came all the way from glory. Listen carefully. Jesus came all the way from glory. Stayed down here. Worked with 12 men. Taught them. Trained them. Then he told them just before he left, he said, "Now go to Jerusalem and wait until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, because I don't want you taking any messages that I didn't give you. It's going to guide you into all truth. So go to Jerusalem and stay there until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit." He went on back to glory. 10 days later, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they preached the same gospel. Every apostle preached the same gospel. Every apostle established the same church. There's no such thing as a church here and a church there for Jesus Christ. And God adopted all of those people that were obeyed by the preaching of the apostles. The church that I read about in my Bible is the Church of Christ. Now Satan comes along and he says, we can establish as many churches as we choose, and we can name them what we want to name them. The Bible doesn't say that. What are you going to tell God at the final round of human affairs when you give an account of your deeds done in prison? Where did my sermon, where did the Holy Spirit tell you to become a member of a church that's not in my Bible? Jesus specifically told those apostles, preach whatsoever I have commanded. Specifically said that to them. Preacher, I thought you were going to quit 10 minutes ago. I was. But you were asleep, so I had to wake you up. No. The call is yours. The invitation is yours. I don't know what lies ahead in this year for me. You don't know what lies ahead for you. But you know who holds the future. All we need to do, we don't have to know all of that. All we need to do is to know that we are doing what the one who holds the future wants us doing. If you need to come, renew your covenant, rededicate your life, do that. You need to come to ask for forgiveness, do that. You're not in the Lord's church. You're not in the church that you can read about in your Bible. You're just in a church that some man has started and says it's the church of the Lord. If it's not in the Bible, don't believe it, because the Bible is all we need to get it right with God. You don't know where death is, and I don't either. So why are you hesitating? Well, I got my own schedule. Well, you got your own schedule, so you're going to tell God when He can come and get you. Trust is yours. You've heard the word. Do you believe it with all of your heart? Are you godly sorrowful for the life that you've lived contrary to the will of God? Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are you willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins? If you are, when you do that, God will add you to His family. That's what He says. He will add you to His family. And He will also empower you by sending the Holy Spirit to live with you, to bless you, to live the life that He is calling you to live. The opportunity is yours, whatever it may be, as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Angry words, oh, let them never from the door.
Your call.
Unbridled slip, may the heart bless them forever.
Start the year off right with God. This is the first Sunday
love one
in this year.
Another.